Hi, Manju.
Hi.
So, you've had for a while this experience of a felt sense, but also noticing that this felt sense that you might feel very specifically in your body, in your experience, is not just about you, but is about something larger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, yeah. Let me say, yeah, a little bit about maybe I wouldn't say the first time, but when that became more clear to me, that experience. Normally, you know, very familiar to me, I might feel something inside of myself that feels uncomfortable, and I thought, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong with me? Or what do I need to pay attention to? Or that's somehow to do with me in my emotional world. But as I sat with it, it became clear to me, like, oh, what doesn't feel right isn't really to do with me, it's to do with what's happening in the world. I can't remember what's happening at the time. There's always something happening in the world, right? Maybe it was elections or some big disaster, or I can't remember exactly, but the strong sense came of, oh, what I hold in here, this discomfort I hold inside of myself wasn't about me, if you like. It was about this bigger environment I was aware of, participating in, you know, mm-hmm. conscious of. And that came as quite an insight. Like, oh, I feel that too. I don't just feel things about me and my whatever relationships with my family or my history. This is a big thing I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it started, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the context is, in a way, you have that mindfulness that allows you to feel inside something,
yeah.
And that something you feel inside is, oh, you know, something troubling me, and so to inquire, is it that I'm dealing with? And more often than not, we're accustomed to, you know, thinking in terms of mindfulness, psychology, to say,
yeah.
Well, what is it that's happening in my relationship with people or with what I'm doing? And in that case, a realization that it's not just about, in a way, your past history or your psychological makeup or your relationships, mm-hmm. but it's really about what's happening in the world at large that you're perceiving
yeah.
that way.
That's right. And I think this is very... something very fundamental happening in
yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, like it points to something very true or something. I guess I'll have to put it into words, but yeah, that's right. And many of us feel this, not just in the focusing world, in the activism world, in the social justice, you know. People have this feeling that something's not right. You know. And I'm sure that they feel that inside themselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe that's a good place to think for a moment about, you know, the possibility that sometimes we feel something and we don't have that idea of thinking, hey, it may not just be about me, but it may be my relationship with the world. And it's kind of a sense of something's not right. And in a way, to welcome that. As something that's really worth exploring.
Yeah, this is, yeah, yeah, that's right. Right, yeah, and worth exploring in more, yeah, that's right, more than just, I don't know, reacting from it. Now I have to fight for something. I'm not saying fighting is wrong, you know, fighting might be very the right response, but it's like, what is going on in there? What's precisely is this sense we have, this discomfort? You know, what's it about? What's wanted? And there's always something, you know, more to it. And I think that helps us also to find some steps. What do I do next? You know, what do I do next with this feeling that something's not right? I think, so something about the detail of it is important here, which is what, you know, mindfulness and focusing has to offer. Like, oh, looking, being curious about what exactly is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're straddling a line where you're on the one hand saying this is not about jumping to what do I do next,
mm-hmm.
and this is about exploring, see the more that comes up.
Yeah.
But obviously this is not looking for the more as an escape from action.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah, this isn't about... There's definitely some sense of action that comes from, for me, that comes from this awareness.
Yeah.
And the action could be very small. It's not necessarily a big thing. But there is some sense of... But that comes from really feeling... Like, what would be a right step for me in this place, in this life, in this, my context, my community? Because there's so much going on in the world, you know, and it's very easy to become overwhelmed, or I can't do anything. But I think there is something that we can tap into. What can I do here in my life? You know, what step can I make that will contribute to that?
Yeah. And very important that it's so easy to feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's right.
So the staying with it is a grounding.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it might make sense at this point to share a specific example to show how that might unfold.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is some, it's an example of this process of a small step that came for me from this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a long time I've had a passion for the environment and more specifically like climate change recently, you know, but it goes back a long way to acid rain back in the, whenever it was 80s and for a long, long time. But I never really found a way of expressing it very clearly. This fairly recently, like, what step can I make to kind of say a bit more about what I really care about? To give voice to this. So rather than hiding it away and like, oh, I don't want to cause trouble or, upset anybody. This is kind of my previous way of being. Like, how can I give voice to this love that I have of the planet, let's say? And, I set up a kind of practice for myself. Okay. When I feel something that I want to share, I'll share it on social media. You know, it's a small thing, but there are people I care about and people whose opinions I care about, whether they like me or not like me. So it was a kind of testing ground. Okay, can I really say what's really meaningful to me and put it out there? Give it to my family. Give it to my friends. Say what I speak out. This is really about speaking out when previously I didn't. So it's a small step, but you know, I'm not demonstrating on the streets, although I do that sometimes, but I am giving voice to what I really care and value. About value. So, and that, yeah, that was a step, and continues to be okay, to be a sort of place where I can. This is what Jen Lin, you know, developer folks, and talks about. Find a place you can practice, make small steps that make a difference. So you do it, and then you feel what happens, and you do it, and you feel what happens, and oh, it's okay to express myself. So yeah, I'm not sure if that's the example you were looking for, but that's what came to me.
No, it's a great start. I want to ask you for more. But what I really like about this one is actually something where we might meet people with, in a way, in giving this example, you're giving an example of a small step.
And, yeah, that's fine.
You're noticing here I am, somebody who normally would err on the side of not expressing myself for all kinds of reasons. And then coming into touch with that sense of, you know, I want to express myself and I'm going to, to pay more attention to this. And so that's a perfect example of a small step as opposed to describing this, you know, from one day to the next, you became this firebrand.
Yeah. That's right. That's good. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. And I can feel it carrying on. It's not like I've done that now.
Putting within the context of, that quote of Jen Lin of, you know, just as you do it, the more you do it, the more you become familiar with the practice and you're able to express more.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It keeps on unfolding. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a kind of element of risk, if you like, when we take these little steps. We have to go beyond our comfort zone, let's say. But it feels good. It feels alive, you know, like, oh, right, finally I'm giving life to this care that I've had.
Yeah.
Feels very good. Yeah.
And so, again, it's very nice you're pointing out the element of risk, So even though we're talking about a small step, you know, and to some people, it might be something that's really nothing. But for you, it is a step.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And right. When it is a step, no matter how small it may seem to some people, it is a step because it has an element of risk.
That's right. Yeah.
So maybe is there a way to describe that sense, that experience of when you are able to shift from, you know, the old default mode of better not express myself or, you know, something of that nature to it's worth the risk, or what happened inside?
Yeah. Yeah, how would I describe it? It's sort of, I guess it's some kind of letting go of some smaller kind of me, you know, like it doesn't matter if people think I'm wrong or they argue or I get something back, or what's most important is sharing this this deep value. Like, and that's the most important thing. Everything else it's not unimportant, it's important to acknowledge it, but not let that get in the way. Not let those parts of us that might be embarrassed, or so I'm not pushing those away. But okay, yeah, some part of me might be worried about what my brother thinks, or some part of me might be worried about what this friend thinks of this. That's fine. You can be there. Let's just, and this is too important not to say. So, and then I guess as I say that, I can feel like it's like a kind of fire in a way, like a kind of feeling of life and wanting to emerge, you know, so it feels good. That's the other thing. So it feels good.
Yeah. So as you're talking, I have an almost physical sense of it as, in a way, taking a step. So there is the old, feeling and, you know, looking at, you know, his brother or such and such a friend. And very influenced by that sense of what this person think about it.
Exactly, yeah.
And then taking a step so that from that different place, there is a different perspective. And the brother or the friends have not disappeared. But then there's something else that you're looking at that's more important so that you now have access to both. And that new perspective overshadows the other one. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. A new perspective, a new sense of oneself even, you know, it feels different. That's right.
Right. It's not just a new perspective, but from that place, you have a different sense of yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A feeling like even now, it's that becoming taller or something or bigger or like, yeah, I can do this. I can. So it's a different, more than just a perspective, I suppose. It's just almost like a feeling in the body or something.
Yeah.
How to stand in the world, you know, how to be in the world.
And so you're talking about standing, you're talking about that sense of feeling taller. So that's the opposite in a way of being compacted and hunkering down.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And you know, that hunkering down, let's say that comes from my own history, you know, about whatever, how I am with people and not expressing myself. But also touches this thing of overwhelm in the world. You know, it's easy to do that with all that, isn't it? There's so much suffering and so much that's not right. We can kind of go, oh, I don't want to know. And, that's understandable. And so, there's some connection there. It's not just my own history, I suppose. That hunkering down is in response to, it's also into what comes in at us in the world.
So in a way, not being myopic and just thinking about this as my history, but seeing it also as related to what's happening in the world and the influence of being in the world we live in. Influences us and may contribute to that experience of not standing up or hunkering down or being compacted.
Very much so, that's right.
So I really like that description that you have. That's a very great experience of the felt sense of that physicality of the compacted versus the standing taller, that sense of opening up, expanding, and that sense that you're describing is, as you're connected with that, it gives you a sense of what guides your actions in terms of what feels good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. There's a kind of... what I like about it too is it's you can reconnect back into it through, it's in a way, through almost remembering what it was like in the body to feel that sense of standing, let's say. You know, like, oh, now I can, the standing in one's own values.
Mm-hmm.
That feels different from hiding and not wanting to know.
Yeah.
It's almost like a body memory or some sense inside of how you can reconnect with it. Almost just by feeling your feet.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that when I'm feeling nervous about expressing myself in a context. Okay, let's just and I reconnect with it. And now I can speak this and be prepared to be shot down.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Normally I'm not, you know. but being prepared. You know.
Being prepared, yeah. And again, that physicality of the experience, this is not just an abstraction.
Yeah,
exactly. This is really something where your whole being is involved in that.
Yeah,
and you anticipate it with your being, and because you're aware of what it can do in your body, you can just confront it with your whole body-mind so that you can really truly stand up.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Now, so obviously, we're also talking about manageable steps, as opposed to, say, confronting tanks and guns and, you know, or... So, in a way, how is it that you know, or what's your experience of feeling, well, this is a step I can take versus this is too much?
Mm. Yeah. How do you know that? I guess it's some kind of... Feeling into the whole context of this body and this life and all that it has to, you know, have a family, have other responsibilities and have a geographical location. I can't get to the tanks in that Syria or, you know, so what can I do now here? So there's some sense of like allowing that to be enough and not getting and feeling for what's happening somewhere else. I'm not pushing that away. But like, the step that I can do here and now kind of feels, if I check in with myself, that's where, there's some knowing about what would feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe it, but, yeah.
So I'm hearing that sense of, in a way, the description of being grounded in the reality of who you are and where you are.
That's right.
You know, I'm a person, one person, not an army. I'm living where I am. You know,
that's right.
I can do this or that. And so, in a way, if I start imagining myself fighting, you know, all that's happening in a war and an army, and it's manifest that I can't do it. And so coming back to, in a way, pushing the voice in you that might say, hey, you have to do this, it's important, with, you know, it's overwhelming, and if I go there, I lose myself, or something like that.
Yeah,
that, hear
that's
you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What I'm reminded of now is something we explored at the folks in conference in our, you know, sort of group exploring this, and a kind of teaching that I came across of, you know, everyone has their kind of medicine for the world. There's a sort of native tradition. So everyone, each person, like, what is your medicine? This is my reflection that I come to again. You know, what is my medicine for the troubles of the world, let's say? Well, not just the troubles, but for the whole. That's particular. It's unique. It's not the same as this person who might be going and, you know, I have a friend of mine who's driven out to Calais in France and helped the refugees. He has a life and a context that allows that. Okay, but what am I going to do here now? You know, okay, I can listen more carefully to my family. You know, I can give some money to that project, and I can speak about to people who speak to people about that and say, oh, there's this going on, would you support it? You know, there's so many things I can do here and now. And, yeah, what's my medicine? I suppose, what's my gift for this life, for this world?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
something
mm-hmm.
like that. That gives me a sense of, oh, I don't have to do everything. I don't have to be some kind of warrior, savior of the whole world. I can just work and refine my offering. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That helps me, supports not being overwhelmed because there is so much, so many routes we could take and so much, there's so much to do. You couldn't possibly do it all, could you? Even if you were an army, you'd still have to find, you know, your own offering. Yeah.
Yeah, so in a way, it goes from medicine in the sense of how do I cure the world, to what is the offering that I'm able to give?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Which is, I guess it is a kind of medicine in a broader sense, but that's right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm realizing as I said it that way that I'm misquoted what your sense of medicine was, because that offering is a medicine. So I just wanted to make the difference between, you know, an offering that you can actually manifest without being overwhelmed.
That's right.
Versus that sense of, you know, me versus the ills of the world and I'm going to freak out, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm reminded of a talk I went to by, I guess a teacher of mine called Mac McCartney. He's a speaker, writer, lives not far from here. But he talked about, you know, that the world needs activists. And it needs people who fight for change, but it also needs, you know, dreamers and poets and musicians, speakers, storytellers. You know, it needs all that too. So this, again, you know, like, oh, phew. I can participate in this in a way that makes sense to me and my body and my life. I don't have to feel I'm not doing it because I'm, you know, not out there on the streets the whole time.
Yeah. So the world needs activists, but it also needs poets and musicians. And as I'm hearing this, I want to, you know, certainly what resonates for me is that sense of, it's almost like there's an internal dialogue that says, hey, if you're not doing more, given the situation of the world, if you're not, you know, like, going all out, then what you're doing is meaningless and you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
And exactly, that's a kind of pushing back that voice and says, you know, I give in my own way and there is room for me and what I'm doing is okay. And negotiating in a way that plays with the world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, that feeling of like not doing enough or is... Yeah. Yeah, like it's sort of pushing back that voice, but it's sort of hearing the real care underneath it, like some part of me really wants to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so, yeah. But allowing that making a difference to come from somewhere connected, you know, and sort of embedded in my life rather than some idea of what that might look like. What does that mean here? To act from a kind of, a person connected in this world, in my life, and contributing to it. What does that look like?
Yeah. Because it would be very easy from that place to lose yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And to get to a sense of you're not enough.
Yeah, that's right. You're not enough, and what's this sort of familiar feeling I used to get a lot of? Well, I guess, yeah, it's overwhelmed. It's too much. So I may as well just ignore it all. So that's so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
sense. So, yeah, so moving beyond that also.
So, in a way, what we're talking about is that the ills of the world are so strong that it's very easy to get caught in a spiral of feeling overwhelmed with the sense of you're not enough, you have to do more and you're not enough.
Yeah.
And of finding that place where we don't get overwhelmed in order to be able to be effective.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And I think for one part of that is actually allowing some of the feelings to come through, allowing like some of the grief, you know, the grief that's there around what's happening to our planet, to so many people in the world. So kind of like allowing ourselves to touch it. And that's kind of painful too, you know, like I resist something and you resist that. But then you touch it and it's like, okay, that, it feels like it becomes some kind of fire actually, some fuel or, so, but you have to touch it, you have to choose to touch that kind of grief. Let's say.
Yeah, because once we just realize that we can't solve, you know, the problems, all of it.
Yeah.
You know, our impact is relatively limited, comes that grief. And you're talking about staying with it and touching it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what's it like? I mean, obviously it's hard to describe this kind of situation, but just to give a sense of it.
What's the grief like to me? Well, you see, one sense of it right now is like, it's not mine. It's not just mine, you know, because I have my sadness about what's happening in the world. But there's kind of collective awareness, isn't there? I sense. So many of us have on the edge of our awareness that what we're doing to our planet, what we're doing to each other is, not all of it, but a significant amount of it is really not okay. You know, our relationship with the planet, with the land, with each other, based on, you know, is kind of, can't be the right term, but not one of respect and love, you know, it's kind of abuse or just taking or so, and so once feeling that is like, oh, you know, there's a sense of loss or something or grief, but it's hard to express it, but yeah, and it feels bigger than me, and it feels bigger than even the community is a big thing.
So I'm hearing a very powerful thing there, that there is, of course, you know, what we would expect is that sense of grief for, you know, the damage that's being done. But I'm also hearing something about, in a way, as we get into this grief, the sense of no longer just taking it personally, because it's a sense of, it's not just about me. And, I think I heard you say something about you're not alone in feeling that.
Yeah.
And so
that's right.
In a way, as you realize that, in a way, you're no longer alone with the sense of this is happening. What are you doing about it?
Yeah. That's important. That's right. So not being alone in this, this is, an emerging strand of this whole journey for me, of, you know, connecting with other people who feel the same, who feel that there's something fundamentally wrong that we need to address. Connecting with speakers or writers who express the same thing. There's a writer called Charles Eisenstein, I've been, and he talks about, like the age of separation. That's what where everything is something we can just market or commodify or sell, or, and we've been in this model for so long, you know. It's like, oh wow, he's got it. You know, he understands that we're, and it's unsustainable. It's damaging and unsustainable. This way of relating to the world. And it's so affirming and refreshing, and like, he feels this sense of it too. And so do lots of people who read his, you know, read his stuff. So yeah, collecting and gathering with people and connecting people who feel the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so important part, such an important part of this, yeah.
So, in a way, as we're confronting something so amazingly huge as, you know, what's happening to the world, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed and traumatized by it. And, you know, certainly one way to counteract that is to feel more the sense of connection that there is with people who are feeling similarly, are wanting to do something about it. And that sense of connection is a countervailing force to how easy it would be to be overwhelmed by it.
Totally, yeah, exactly, yeah. And you know, and practically, of course, you know, we can do much more together than we can as a single person. But even to see on that kind of level of how you were describing it, yeah, it counteracts that. The ease of which it can, yeah, we can get overwhelmed. Yeah.
So that, of course, we're getting together in groups for practical reasons, because we can get more in groups. But part of it is as a way to be in a more sustainable mode. You know, to not be like the little old story of the little Dutch boy putting the finger, you know, in the hole in the dike to stem the the catastrophe. Yeah. But to have a sense that there's a whole group that is, that we're part of.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's right. Yeah.
What does it feel inside to make that shift, you know, just that experience?
Yeah, it's, for me it's more still emerging, you know, it's still, rather than feeling like I've made the shift, I'm sort of making the shift to realizing that. Yeah, and that feels, see, if that feels good, it feels right, it feels kind of spacious and like collecting a plan or something that's too specific, but like, oh yeah, there's other people here, it feels supportive, it feels good, you know, it feels more manageable somehow, like, I'm not carrying all this by myself.
Yeah. So that sense of making the shift from being small me confronting the enormity of the catastrophe to, I am part of this tribe, I'm part of this group that is gathering and, you know, is where there is a sustainability that's building up from getting that sense of togetherness.
Yeah. That's right. Togetherness, and there's another. There is togetherness, but there's more, and I can't quite put my finger on it. But
so let's just stay with that. These are, you know, these are great moments of, you know, there's a more. I can't quite put the finger on it, and you know, instead of maybe looking for a specific word to kind of describe what might come up in staying with this more.
Yeah. Something about belonging comes here, the word belonging, and something about feeling empowered. That's right. And I'm remembering an evening I went to in my local town. It was a kind of tour, kind of gathering around the scene. I belong here, and but also we can do something. Like it's not all lost, you know. So that's and that feels different. Mm-hmm. The feeling like I can't do anything and it's all lost.
Yeah.
So something about empowering is gets there.
Yeah, so that sense of, you know, I can't do anything, all lost, and hey, and I, you know, I must feel that sense of spaciousness coming in, or of grounding, of opening up, of, you know, that instead of that, nervous energy, but I'm not alone with it and I belong, I'm part of a group and maybe we can do something. And so that sense of, you know, in a way, more calm and in the face of threat.
Yeah. And for me, this group is just to make it clear, it's sort of not really like about, it's something very broad, it's something specific locally, perhaps my friends and collections of people who I gather with, but also there's a sense of a group of people in the world, like this, the writer I mentioned, Charles Eisenstein, and all the people that follow him, and I can name some other people, but you know, so like there's a sense of growing awareness of what's happening in the world and the growing sense of it's not right. We need to change something. Something is fundamentally out of kilter. And so I feel I belong to that community, if you could call it a community.
Yeah. It's not like having a, you know, being a card carrying member of a specific organization.
Exactly.
But, you know, having that more diffuse sense of being part of a broader community. And what occurs to me then in a way, coming back to what you were saying at the beginning and expressing yourself more, in a way that whenever we express ourselves in some way or another, we are in effect supporting others who are part of that broad, diffuse community.
That's right. Yeah. And if, you know, if we speak our truth, it, you know, enables other people to do that. More too. There's something very profound about that, sharing what's really true and what's deeply valuable and how it affects the world. So, yeah.
So that sense of sharing what is true, what is valuable, you know, standing for our values, standing for what's important.
That's right.
And that sense that it's going to be resonating with other people, with kindred spirits.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I like that term. Yeah, exactly. Kindred spirits. That's what it matches it well. That's right.
Yeah. So that feels like a good place to end. I just want to check if you have something else you might want to add.
Yeah, it feels complete. That feels good. Yeah, I can. There's enough there. Feels good.
Thanks, Manju.
Thank you.
This is part of the Active Pause podcast at activepause.com.